Welcome to Country Courts Conversations. Today we're going to have a conversation with a very special guest. He's the one, the only Southern star all the way from Ellaville, Georgia. Brent Cobb.
Howdy. Glad to be here, man.
Good evening, man. How are you?
I'm good. It's been a pretty easy trip so far. This is only our second show of the run. You know, we started in London and we made sure this time to like take a day and to acclimate, you know, from travel. And so we had a day in London, a couple days in London, and then we made our way to Amsterdam yesterday and we stayed the night there.
How was that?
It's great, man. I love Amsterdam. It's, you know, for all the obvious reasons, but it's just a beautiful, what a cool city it is, man, or a cool town.
You know? Did you ride a bike?
I have not yet. I almost got ran over by a couple of them.
Well, that's part of the show in Amsterdam, man.
I know. Yeah, the first trip I had over here in 2018 or so.
Because it's not your first time in the Netherlands, right?
No, no, this is, I think, my third. But that first one, I didn't know that pedestrians that are walking do not have the right of way.
Nope.
And yeah, I almost got ran over that first trip. So I learned. And as we pulled in today and I saw all the bike riders, I was like, oh yeah, I gotta make sure I listen for that ding, ding, ding.
Luckily you survived. And thank you for joining us at Country Courts Conversations. We're very happy to have you.
Thank y'all for having me.
We're gonna start off with a kick, because we're gonna start off with a couple of Country Courts brain crackers to get you all warmed up and stuff. Are you ready? You have to pick one.
As ready as I can be, yeah.
All right. Georgia or Tennessee?
Oh, Georgia, yeah.
Why?
Well, I'm from there. And, you know, I know Nashville is like ground zero, sort of, for country music. It's arguable. But I would say that, like, if we're just talking about music, Georgia, other than being my home place, it's... You could say that rock and roll was born in Georgia. You know, that's where Little Richard is from, Macon, Georgia. And he arguably is the king of rock and roll. And then you could arguably say that, you know, maybe soul music wasn't born there, but it definitely died there because Otis Redding is also from Georgia, you know.
Who's also from Georgia, second brain cracker. Luke Bryan or Chris Stapleton?
Luke Bryan or Chris Stapleton, damn. All right, well... They both have had, they've had a lot to do with my career in different ways. Luke, we're from the same area in the States, and early on, he's sort of who talked me into moving to Nashville, and I was already going out to L.A. But then Chris Stapleton, after I had taken a couple years off of touring when my daughter was born, Chris and his wife Morgan Stapleton, who is also from Georgia, they invited me to come on tour with him for 3 years.
All-American Roadshow, right?
Yeah, All-American Roadshow. And it was the years that he had, like, finally exploded. So it was like 20 to 30,000 people every night we were playing for. So, with that said, let's say Chris Bryan or Luke Stapleton. That's my favorite.
Do we accept that?
Luke Stapleton.
Well, for this time.
I'll say this. How about this? For the songwriter that I am, Luke Bryan. For the artist, Chris Stapleton.
Tailgate Blues.
That's what I'm saying. Luke gave me one of my very first cuts as a songwriter, and it was a big cut. And I was Tailgate Blues on Tailgates and Tan Lines in 2011.
That's the album that got me into country music.
That's so, the one?
Yeah.
No kidding, man.
Yeah.
This is how all that went down.
Cool.
I had moved to Nashville in 2008, and I started writing Music Row, and I had been out in Billings, Montana. I opened a show for Josh Turner, and I had just boarded the flight on the way back, and Luke hit me up, and he said, "Hey, man, do you have any songs that are good, that would be good for drinking whiskey to?" And I had just recorded my first demo session as a staff writer in Nashville. And so I had six songs recorded. And I didn't really know what to send him, so I just sent him all six. And then he got right back and he wanted to record Tailgate Blues. So this was one of my first big cuts.
Yeah, that brought you a lot of things, I guess.
Well, over the years, it's one of those, it's crazy, that song was never singled on the album, which is crazy, Luke.
Luke,
you should revisit.
To it. Yeah.
You should revisit that song. So do you remember when that album came out, there was a whole storyline in videos. Mm-hmm. Like the first one was Country Girl, Shake It For Me.
Yeah.
And it was like about the guy and the girl meeting, you know, and like having fun. And then there was I Don't Want This Night to End. So they're out there, they're doing their thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then the third segment in this video series was, Kiss Tomorrow Goodbye,
yeah,
maybe,
yeah,
or something,
yeah.
Where she's leaving him, the girl's leaving him. And then they stop right there. Oh. But what would have been the perfect choice for
tailgate.
Where the dude is left alone on the tailgate,
yeah,
of the truck that they were hanging out?
Luke, come on.
Tailgate Blues, Luke, Carrie. And no, man, I'm grateful to both of those dudes in my career. They've been amazing.
Yeah. Brent Cobb, the country singer, or Brent Cobb, the Southern Eclectic?
Ooh, well, Southern Eclectic is all of it. I would say, I always say that I'm a songwriter singer and I'm not a singer songwriter. And so I'm songwriter, man.
Yeah.
You know, but everything I do is Southern. It's sometimes it rocks, sometimes it rolls, sometimes a little country, sometimes it's soul.
But I know all, it. I heard that
Southern.
Before, yeah, man.
That's what, yeah.
That's cool. Yeah. Yeah, because if it sounds country, it is country for you, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, you hear how I talk.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Sometimes it might be a little funky, but it's, you know, it's all Southern.
Cool. Go to a release party or go fishing with a frozen branded rod?
Go fishing for sure.
Yeah, because that's what you were doing with your daughter, right?
Mm-hmm.
Back in the day.
Yep. Yeah, we still fish. We got a little pond. Yeah, we fish. I love fishing.
Yeah.
I'm not like Luke. First trip I ever took to Nashville. this is 2007. So I had been out to LA, back and forth, made that first album in 06. And then I had not moved to Nashville, and Luke invited me to come stay at his house. It was actually the week before he made his Grand Ole Opry debut. And right when I get there, he's like, "We want to go fishing?" And he hooks his bass boat up to the back of his truck. And we were going to go out to, I think, Percy Priest, or it might have been Old Hickory Lake.
Oh, yeah.
And, man, I was so, like, I was a kid, you know. I was, like, 20 years old, and it was all mind-blowing to be hanging out with people that were actually making a living,
mm-hmm,
in music. And so I couldn't talk. I didn't have a whole lot to say. I remember, and if you ever see Luke, you could probably ask him about this. The only thing I remember I could say back then was like he would try to write something with me or something, you know, and I just like, ah. I was so nervous that I was intimidated that I'd just be like, man, I'm weird, man. I'm just weird.
Yeah.
And that's all I could think to say. But yeah, fishing. I would say fishing.
Yeah. So that's, you still do that, fishing?
Oh, yeah.
All the time. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But
did you catch something when you were with Luke?
We didn't go.
No. Oh,
we were on the way. We had the boat hooked up. We were on the way. He was gassing up, and I think he could tell that I was like, I just didn't know how to hang out. Like I was just like, it was just all overwhelming a little bit, and so we just turned it around.
Yeah.
We turned it around. And he's like, well, let's just go back to the house and hang out. And we set up two lawn chairs in his driveway, and we just sat in the yard and
cool.
talked. You know, he drew a little sketch of like the way publishing works in the music business. And
was he a bit of a mentor or just?
For sure.
Yeah.
He at that time, he had had several cuts. He had just gotten his first number one as a songwriter with Good Directions.
Mm-hmm.
Billy Currington had recorded
released.
And his song, All My Friends Say, had just come out.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, he was definitely a mentor.
Yeah. We always at Country Courts get to know our guests a little bit through a greyhound. I don't know if your manager told you about that.
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah? Well, a greyhound is a song that you like to play when you're on the road, and you
mm-hmm.
like to sing along as well.
Mm-hmm.
Which song is that for you when you go into the car, maybe with your family or just alone? You put it on
one of my songs, or like
whatever you want.
Any song. Well, typically I will. It depends on the travel. If it's family, then I don't know. I might turn on just like, you ever listen to Chill Wave? You know what that is? It's like a genre of music that's sort of synth and like beats.
Like Sunday morning chill or something.
Sort of. Funny you should say Sunday morning, because one of my daughter's favorite songs, first thing we ever put in the car when we're on the way to school, if I'm driving them to school, is that Sunday Best. You know that song? Yeah. It's like, feeling good, like I should. Took a walk my neighborhood. Anyway, that's one of them, I guess. Yeah. And if we're riding down the road with the band, then I typically will put on like Leaving Trunk by not Johnny Jenkins, Taj Mahal.
Oh yeah.
And any J.J. Cale. Yeah. The Troubadour album is so good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Nice. Cool. I thought you were gonna say Don't Take the Girl by Tim McGraw.
Ooh, that's not really a travel song. That's more of a like, I'm sitting out in the darkness of the woods and like pondering life.
Because that was the first song you ever performed, right?
Yeah, the first song I ever sang live. You've done your research. It's
part of the job.
Was Don't Take the Girl. And we did it at the American Legion Hall in Richland, Georgia. And there's a part in that song, Johnny hit his knees and there he prayed. And I hit my knees. I stole the show. And then in 2017 or 18, Tim McGraw and Faith Hill invited me to come out and open three shows on their tour, their Soul to Soul tour. And I actually got to ask Tim, does he ever perform that song in concert anymore? And I guess he said he doesn't. I don't know why he doesn't. I think it would go over well if he did.
But there was also a song when you were 6 years old, you already wrote a song about collecting stones.
Oh yeah.
Do you remember that?
Yeah. I didn't have any chords to it, but it's like millions and millions and billions and jillions of rocks, time after time after time after time. And me and my little sister would just walk around rural Georgia and collect iron ore rocks, and that's still how I write songs, just whatever I'm doing in the moment, I write about it.
You wrote it down, word for word as well, or just played it in your head? Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's how I do most songs. I don't ever really write my lyrics down, though. My brain is that way. I don't remember anything else, but if I'm writing a song, my brain, for whatever reason, remembers lyrics that I'm writing.
And do you see something of the younger Brent in your own children right now? Are they already writing songs as well?
Yeah, my daughter for sure writes. I don't push any of it on any of them, but they are very creative. My daughter dances and sings and writes, and she likes to act. And my son actually is a natural singer, but he refuses to sing if you ask him to. He's shy about it, but if he's not thinking about it, he can mimic sounds. Like, it's crazy, man.
Well, that will take some time maybe, and then later on he'll accept it.
I guess. I got him a drum kit. We've been rocking a little bit.
Nice. Music's always ran through your family, right? Uh-huh. Your dad was a performer.
Yep, still is. Yeah,
still is. Mm-hmm. Cool. But also your cousin, that's a weird story. You're 16 years old and you meet him at a funeral.
Yeah.
Tell me more.
I was probably like 17 or 18. And I had a great aunt that passed away. And I was at this funeral. I was a pallbearer, you know, helped carry the casket. And word gets around that we have this distant cousin of ours that's going to be at this funeral. That it was his grandmother that passed away, and that he's a record producer in L.A. And I had never heard of this cousin.
That's strange, right?
It was a little strange, especially that we're all musical, you know. And so after the funeral, I am shameless enough. Well, I go out there and kind of, I was arrogant a little. And I was like, I hear you're a big time L.A. record producer. What have you produced? And he starts naming these artists, and he says, Shooter Jennings put the O back in country, which at that time was all me and my friends were listening to. And we'd get off work and maybe get a little stoned, and we would put that album on. And so when he said that, it kind of blew my mind. And yeah, I couldn't believe it. And so then I was shameless enough to give Dave Cobb he wasn't a superstar producer at that time, but
he now is, though.
He is now a world-renowned
Grammy award-winning,
for sure, man.
How many Grammys does that guy
have? I don't even know, man.
Can you count them when you go in?
No, he didn't have them on display or anything, you know.
No.
But I really think, not because he's my family, but he really is like the greatest. I mean, he's just a fantastic. He's really an engineer. He's the best engineer ever, and he loves great music.
So what was the reason that you chose to produce your own the Southern Star album yourself?
Well, Dave is a little out of my price range. No, I don't know. I just, partly to do with timing, everybody's busy all the time. I'm touring, you know, if Dave is, he's busy. He's got everybody in the world wanting to work with him. And for 12, 15 years, I have been a staff writer. And when you're a staff writer on Music Row, you go through cycles where you write a bunch of songs and then you make demos and then you use those demos to pitch, like what I pitched to Luke that time. And in that process, you don't work with a producer. You're sort of calling the shots. And so over those years, I had learned how to articulate what it was I was wanting on an album. And up until Southern Star, I had produced other people's stuff, but I had not produced my own stuff. And it just was a timing thing. It's like, I want to make an album. I got all the songs wrote. I know the band. And I think I'll try to produce this one.
Cool. About that songwriting, how do you write your songs? Do you, what you already told a little bit, do you start with the text? Do you start with the music? Do you start with a melody?
Typically, it's melody. Yeah. I'll strum, you know, and then just when old and that is strange, it's all and all to run. And I'll do that with syllables and melody that doesn't necessarily be, it's not real words. And I'll try to imagine, like, what is that melody? What emotion is that evoking? And then I'll, like a puzzle, match the actual words to the syllables and to melody.
Because that's what I wanted to talk about, those texts of you, those words. For example, I heard Old Hang Moon, if I was you, I'd hate the clouds because all they would do is hang around and cry. How do you come up with that kind of magic?
Man, I appreciate that. It's one of the only things I'm good at, and I don't know how. It is what I do. It's just what I do. And that song in particular is Traveling Poor Boy Broke. It's one of the very first songs I wrote after I made the move to Nashville in 08. And I was sitting around the apartment that evening. Me and my first roommate, one of my very best friends, Scotch Taylor, we wound up writing a lot of songs together. But that song, I was sitting at this little crappy apartment by myself one evening, and I was homesick. And it was before I had landed a publishing deal. And so I was just broke and like wondering, like, man, should I just go back home, you know? And I just, that line, I remember thinking, you know, gosh, that's how, if I'm having a conversation with the moon, then surely the moon feels that way about the rainy clouds, you know? And I feel like a rainy cloud right now, to be depressing, you know? I mean, just like sad all the time. And so that's, I don't know, I just, it's the way my brain works.
It's songwriting next level.
Thanks,
man.
Dude.
I also think about the same about, there's a small town in the south of Georgia. If you sneeze driving through, you won't see it at all.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
Well, that line, thanks again. But that, I can't take all the credit for that line because it's a, that's an old saying. It's an old phrase down there. It's like, so-and-so, boy, that town's so small, if you sneeze, you'll miss it.
Yeah.
You know? And so that was kind of, you know, it's just something that people say a lot.
Yeah, hang around, that word, those words, hang around.
Yeah, well, see, and that's the other thing, like, talking about being Southern eclectic, there is a certain rhythm and cadence And there's a certain poetry in the way people in the American South talk. Mm. They may not consider it poetic, but it has a rhythm to it, you know. And I think that's why so many great songwriters and musicians have come from the American South, because there really is a, like, a dialect and a rhythm to that dialect, you know.
If you look at that, who is your biggest inspiration?
I mean, Otis Redding for sure is the very top of the list, because he was a writer. He wrote most of those songs, you know, sitting on the dock of the bay. But not only that, he was arranging all of those songs. And then not only that, he could perform them like crazy. And then not only that, he was a businessman, you know. There would be no Capricorn Records if it wasn't for Otis Redding. And if it wasn't for Capricorn Records, there would be no Allman Brothers, you know. There'd be no Give Me Back My Bullets, Lynyrd Skynyrd. There'd be no...
Southern Star.
Southern Star, totally, man. And I just think it's, you know, I just love the history of it all. I love the environment of the history. I love all of it, man. Otis Redding, dude, he was the dude.
So if you have to describe the development of Brent Cobb, the person and the artist, from that old, of that young boy, 7 years old with his dad on the stage, with his burnt knee, to now, how would you describe that development?
I don't know. I probably knew more who I was at that seven-year-old. I think all of us are probably this way. There's a core center to us all, you know, our soul or whatever you want to call it, that I think that we're born knowing. We are the closest to it when we're born. And for me personally, I have constantly and as consistently as possible tried to recapture what I already knew, you know, and zero in on the essence of what I am. I would say that the most, more than anything, that's a person. I'm just a person out here living this experience. I just happen to be from the American South, you know, and yeah.
You're proud of that?
For sure, man.
Yeah, cool. We're halfway through. It's time to speed things up.
All right.
Three quick country questions.
Let's do that. Let me get a sip of beer, though.
Yeah, sure.
Cheers.
Cheers, man. Thank you for joining us. Mm-hmm. It's great.
Oh yeah, I gotta switch. I'm gonna switch these out too for these questions.
Sure.
The rapid fire questions.
Yeah. Three quick country questions.
Okay.
First one. What is your most country story ever?
My most country story ever? One time. This is just right off the dome. We're crawfishing. That's where you go and you catch crayfish, you know, like, I don't know if y'all have those here, but they look like a little lobster, and you get them in freshwater creeks where I'm from. And we were fishing with a flat basket trap, and you can use, this is crazy, you can take a can of cat food and you can poke holes in it and you tie that to the basket, and then it attracts crawfish. And so these crawfish come and they get on the basket and you pull the basket up. That's already country as shit, right? Well, one night, I had taken my band with me down to Georgia, and they didn't believe how sharp the pinchers. They have these little pinchers on their hands, like
lobsters.
And I was trying to show them just how sharp these pinchers were, and I might have had a few beers, and so I took the crawfish and I put it up to my nose right there. And he latched onto my nose, and it hurt so bad. And,
did it bleed?
Oh, yeah. I pulled it off. I immediately had tears come out of my eyes. That's probably the country story just right off the dome that I have.
Cool. What is a moment you cherish with another country artist?
Oh, I got to think of something right off the dome, don't I? All right, let's see.
The sweetest memory, yeah.
Yeah, I'll say, oh, man, I got so many. All right, here's one. When I first moved to Nashville, I was getting my very first cut as a songwriter. The second one was Tailgate Blues. The first one was this song called Hold Me Closely that I had written when I was 17, and my mother's mom had passed away, my Nana. And I wrote this song out of the blue, man. I wrote it in like 20 minutes, and it sort of had this gospel feel to it. And anyway, my Nana passed away a couple of days later. That wound up being my first song ever recorded. We were in the studio, the Oak Ridge Boys recorded it. And we were at the old Hillbilly Central studio, which is where the Outlaws wanted the Outlaws album with Waylon Jennings, Jesse Coulter, Tom Paul Glazier, and Willie Nelson. And we were there recording, and I had just moved to town. And I was sort of going through like a writer's block. I don't really believe in writer's block anymore because of what I'm about to tell you. And Miss Jesse Coulter was there, and she played the piano on that cut that the Oak Ridge Boys. So I'm watching the Oak Ridge Boys record a song that I had written, and Miss Jesse Coulter is playing the piano. And she gets done, and she comes over, and I say, Miss Jesse, so nice to meet you. And she was welcoming me to town and all. And I said, you know, could I ask you some advice on something? I feel like I'm having a little bit of a hard time writing right now, and I can't like come up with things that I think are good. What should I do? And she just looked at me and she said, well, honey, right now you're living, so live. And the songs will come when they're supposed to. Just live. And so that's probably my most cherished country music moment.
Cool. What is a goal you still have in music or in life that you want to achieve?
Well, I have super specific ones, but they're not like, they're not that far out of reach. As far as a touring artist, well, number one, as a whole, I just want everybody to be taken care of. My family, I want my bills to be paid, my children to be fed, and I want everybody to be, you know, taken care of and happy. Same goes with my band. All I ever really want, this is the truth, I just want to be at a level enough to where I can afford to keep my band and crew on a retainer to where we don't have to tour all the time because I have kids, you know, and I don't want to be gone all the time. But to where when we're not touring, I can still pay them well enough that they're not hurting for money. And I would like two buses, one for band and crew, and then the second for family, but not just my family. I just want to be able to, we can rotate it every weekend and have, you know, guitar player wants to bring whoever, his best friends out. They got a whole bus to themselves that they can hang out on the run. You know, we'll just rotate that every weekend. That's it. That's my only goal.
Sounds like a plan, man.
That's all I want, man.
How many years are you away from that?
I don't know. I mean, I'd say it's taken me about 20 years to get to the bottom of my career, and I'm just glad to be here. But I don't know, man. I mean, we're real close, you know. It ain't that far away.
Cool, man. You're doing great.
Thank you.
I was wondering, you lived in Nashville for over a decade?
For 10 years.
Yeah, for 10 years?
Exactly a decade, yeah.
Then you moved back to Georgia. Did you see Nashville change in those 10 years?
Oh, yeah, man. Yeah, I was lucky enough to catch the tail end of, like, old Nashville. It was, when I first moved there, we would go down to Broadway, and you could still park at the Ryman, like, we knew the security people. You could park at the Ryman and walk across to the bars. It was like parking at a Southern Baptist church in Ellaville, Georgia or something. Mm-hmm. And back then you could still smoke in all the bars on the other side of Broadway, the opposite side of Tootsie's.
Mm-hmm. And Crazy Town Bar.
Yeah.
That kind of stuff.
Yeah. It was cool, man. It was like still a small town back then.
Yeah.
And, you know, yeah, nowadays it is... I don't know. It's all in the name of progress. I don't want to talk trash. It's fine. It's always been that way, I suppose, in its own way. But Nashville has changed very much.
Yeah, but do you miss like the old bars there?
Of course.
All those artists, they are building like these 3-4 mm-hmm. floors, restaurants.
Yeah, there's always...
those are fun, by the way, because Miranda Lambert's...
it's amazing. I was there for the grand opening of the Miranda one.
It
was awesome, yeah. It's amazing.
It looks perfect.
Yeah.
But I was there in 2017, I guess, mm-hmm. and it was with the Crazy Town Bar. That was the first bar I walked in.
Mm-hmm.
It all disappears, I think. It's
yeah. It comes and goes there, yeah. Right? Well, that's why I was just talking about this in a different interview. This doesn't just go for Nashville. Mm. It is strange to me for some reason in the States versus over here. Over here, historic places of historic value, y'all tend to like just continue to build upon what is already there, and you keep it in working order so it doesn't disappear forever. Like, it's just still working. For some reason in the States, if something gets to be 40 years old, not even that old, we just demolish it. It doesn't matter like how valuable it is historically or not. It just, we're gonna build something new. And so, yeah, I do wish that, I wish Nashville would hold on a little bit to their roots, yeah.
Yeah, because I missed one brain cracker, I realized right now, because did country came back to town, or did it never leave?
Well, that's the thing, isn't it? That's the question. I don't know. It's not up to me to decide.
You wrote a beautiful song about it.
Thanks, man. When I started in 2005 or 6 professionally, that was during a time that, as an independent artist, if you weren't played on radio, you were not heard, and there was no way really to be heard. And over the last 20 years, there has been a rise of independent artists who for 20 years have given their whole life to that. They're not trying to be outlaws. They just want to make the music that they make. And thank goodness all those artists, you know, for 20 years put that time and sweat and blood and tears in, because now you do have people like Zach Bryan that I have a theory of why he is just massive now. And he's great, obviously. There are a lot of great artists for the last 20 years who have been great also.
What is the theory?
Here's my theory. I think that like people like Ryan Bingham or Hayes Carl or like Lucinda Williams, you know, Nikki Lane, who've been doing it for 20 years, while they were up and coming in, you know, the late 2000s, early 2010s, their fan base that were at that time of college age were listening to those artists. They were not mainstream, they were not huge, but they were a niche genre. I think those fans, those listeners, had kids that in the background of their childhood, in their subconscious mind, they heard that kind of music being played. And then, of course, over the last 20 years, the internet grows up and it becomes a thing that everybody uses now. And those kids grew up. And so when they now are college age, those kids of those original listeners, they don't remember, but their subconscious primed them for a Zach Bryan. Now it's huge because the internet and those kids grew up with that in the back of their psyche.
Yeah.
What I think.
Yeah, because Zach Bryan grew a lot. He started also in with Vine, I guess, putting short videos on Twitter, I guess. Luke Combs did the same thing.
Sure.
With his, and he went all the way.
It's amazing.
How do you look at the modern country music scene right now?
I think that it is, if you could have told my buddy Rowdy, Jason Cope, who's friends with Josh Day, who passed away in 21, just where country music, like mainstream, like popular country music would be now, when I first went to LA in 2006, they would never believe you, you know, but now there's substance again, you know, and there's like, There's room for all of it now, which is awesome, man. That's all anybody's ever wanted, is to like, okay, why can't it all coexist? Yeah, we should party. Well, yeah, we should think. We should dig a little deep sometimes too, you know.
I think it's amazing, dude.
Like now there's a lane for everything, and there's a demographic for all of it as well. Thank goodness. Yeah. I think that was anybody's problem, I think. If anybody had a problem 20 years, 15 years ago with it, it seemed to only be one lane for one particular type. Now it's like, yeah, it can all coexist. We're not just a one-sided person, you know, we're people and we're complex. We have a lot of different emotions. I think it's cool, it all exists now.
That's why all these genres are going
together,
right?
It's all one thing, man.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. How do you look at like people like Beyonce, Post Malone now, mm-hmm. bringing country albums?
I think it's exactly what should be happening, dude. I think that, like, well, see, country music has always been that way. You know, we were talking about Otis Redding before, or like Ray Charles, or mm-hmm. Little Richard, you know. These are all folks who grew up in the country, man. And you could arguably say that, like, that is what started country music. They are the originators of country music because they're country folks making rock and roll music, but they're country, man.
Yeah.
It's all one in the, like, it's, I am so happy with where everything is right now.
Yeah.
As a whole, I think anybody and everybody, if you got something real to say, then you should do it. Call it country, whatever you want to call it. Don't matter, you know.
You have your a daughter of yourself. Post Malone just dropped it. Everybody's talking about his album.
Uh-huh.
Are you jealous of his song Yours?
What you talking about?
You know the song Yours on Post Malone's
album? I haven't listened to it yet.
It's about his daughter and about giving her away and
she's
yours. It's perfect. You have to check it out.
Yeah.
It's really,
well,
really
I'm
nice
not,
if you...
I'm certainly not jealous, but no. I've written a ton of songs about my daughter.
Oh, yeah.
So. No, man. I think that... I didn't know he had had a kid either.
Yeah, he has a daughter. He also told about it on the Joe Rogan podcast.
That'll change your life, dude.
Yeah, he said the same thing about also putting pictures of his daughter on Instagram, so he doesn't do that because she doesn't know that you're doing that kind of stuff.
Totally, yeah.
So,
that's something we've been considering lately.
Yeah.
It's so funny. We're like the first generation of parents, you know, who had access to like social media and stuff like that as parents. And so you didn't think about it, you know, and now thank goodness, like it is something that you're like, oh shit, should think about that, you know? So, yeah.
Yeah.
So it's a wild time to be a parent and a young adult, you know?
And Brand Cup.
I know that's right.
Well, it's time to wrap things up.
Mm-hmm.
We would love if you wanna close it all off with a Country Courts cover.
Okay.
A little song.
Does it matter if it's an old song or a new song?
No, I would be glad with both.
Just keep in mind, we talked earlier that I am a songwriter-singer, not a singer-songwriter. So I sing well enough to get the songs across sometimes. This is, what I'm gonna do is it's a song that was written by Roger Miller that Waylon recorded. He has a version of it. It's called I've Been a Long Time Leaving, But I'll Be a Long Time Gone. I've been a fool, I've been a fool, forgiving you each time that you've done me wrong. I've been a long time leaving, I'll be a long time gone. I loved you so much, I loved you so much. I stayed around when I should have moved along. I've been a long time leaving, but I'll be a long time gone. Hello, Highline, hello, Highway. Here come a big old semi my way. I stick up my thumb, hit a truck, come trees going by, looking like a fly, whooping the big legs on my Levi's. Whoop, 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 whoop. I've been a fool. I've been a fool. Forgiving you each time that you've done me wrong. I've been a long time leaving, I'll be a long time gone. Hello, Highline, hello, Highway. Here come a big old semi my way. I stick up my thumb, hit a truck, come trees going by, looking like a fly, whooping the big legs on my Levi's. Whoop, whoop. Whoop. I've been a fool. I've been a fool. forgiving you each time that you've done me wrong. I've been a long time leaving, I'll be a long time gone. There you go.
Awesome, man. What a cool song. Why did you pick this song?
I love that damn song. Also, I'm just not very good at my brain. So I told you I have to write my own lyrics down. Huh? But I cannot learn cover songs. And so when I saw that question to do a cover, I was like, damn. But I know that one by heart. And cool. So that's one of the only ones I know. And it's a cool song.
Thanks again, man, for joining us at Country Courts Conversations. I had a great time. Thank you for your story.
Thank you, man.
Yeah, have fun on stage tonight, man.
I promise you. Are y'all going to be at the show?
Of course.
Good. Yeah, it'll be a... We get surprising show a lot. I think people expect, like, super songwriter show. And it's that. But we rock pretty good, too, so... Yeah.
Looking forward to that, man. Thank you.
Cheers. Thank y'all.
This was Country Courts Conversation for the first time with Brent Kopp. If you like this content, hit like and subscribe, of course. And thank you for watching. Catch you later.